This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
First touch for DJ Moore. They used him in a ton of ways in Carolina. This was one of them. And there he goes. Goodbye, touchdown. Welcome to Chicago. DJ Moore, 62 yards.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
You're welcome for the highlight, Bears fans. You can thank Tyler Ferengul for that one. It always makes you feel good when you hear things like that. But we get a chance to talk a little bit more realistically about this Bears team, the new offensive weapons, and what the 2023-2024 season could look like for the Monsters of the Midway. To do that, we bring in our next guest. Joining us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, former NFL exec, works for Sports Illustrated, got the Business of Sports podcast. Just a great mind to talk to when discussing the NFL. It is Andrew Brandt. Andrew, thanks for joining us this evening. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, happy to be with you and appreciate you having a 10-year Packers executive on your Bears program.
It's not lying if you're omitting things, Andrew, and that was just what I was doing there, a little bit of omission when it comes to that. But yes, the Packers won nonetheless.
It was a great rivalry. I always enjoyed our certainly our visits to Soldier Field and seeing the renovation there after we did our renovation at Lambeau Field. Always a friendly rivalry and knew all those people well. You know, some of them still there that were in administration back when I was between 99 and 09.
Would you say that the rivalry runs as thick at the executive level as it does at the fan level?
Yeah, I think in any business, you sort of look at your peers and, you know, what are they doing? In my situation, what are they doing salary cap wise? What are they doing in terms of their player contracts, how they're managing their situation, how they're building their roster? Of course, Green Bay, we were always a draft and develop team. Never really jumped into the free agent waters very much. Tried to build it, obviously, with different young quarterbacks that are homegrown, a lot of homegrown talent all the way. And I think Chicago tries to do things pretty similarly. Now, we've had, in my day, obviously the upper hand, primarily due to the fact that, you know, we had two quarterbacks over 30 years, and I think the Bears had 35 quarterbacks. So there's a lot of luck to that, and I don't deny that at all.
Yeah, I could imagine, but I can see the gamesmanship that you'd be paying attention to at the executive level. Of course, you want to still be operating, at optimal level there. If you were an exec for the Chicago Bears, Andrew, at this upcoming season, I mean, you mentioned, you know, draft and develop. That also, you know, has to do with evaluation as well in the present. So if you were an exec for the Chicago Bears and you know what you have in Justin Fields, but you're still evaluating him, what would be some things that you would be looking at or from this season specifically?
Yeah, I mean, you identified it, and I've talked about it with Favre and Rodgers from my day. You know, if you can build, if you can feel like you have the guy, everything else is kind of secondary, and that's just the way it is in this sport. It's the player that touches the ball the most, the player that becomes the face of the franchise. And, you know, I think the Bears have to just really know that this is the guy they're building with. There, you know, there was some chatter even this offseason, like maybe they'll, you know, take Bryce Young and trade just. Yeah. I never believed that for a minute. I don't even know where that was coming from, but it seemed to gain a little bit of traction. You know, you commit to a guy, and this is what they're going to do. And I'm not a scout. Obviously, people feel that he needs to show more in the passing game. That there's the athletic side is clearly there. And, you know, the reading defenses and being able to run a team, not just be an athletic quarterback and not just simple plays. So this is what we're going to have to find out. And the Bears have this year to make that a decision, because what we're seeing is once these players get to 3 years in the league, like Justin Herbert and Jalen Hurts, teams are making huge commitments. And that's the point where the Bears are going to be this time next year.
Talking to Andrew Brandt, former executive of the Green Bay Packers and a myriad of other things that he does, talking to us here on 670 The Score. I'm curious, Andrew, because specifically about a guy like Velus Jones Jr. He's a third-round pick, Ryan Poles' first draft class. Talk to me about the difficulties that an executive faces when they've selected someone at a high round, third specifically with Velus Jones Jr., but there's that connection that exists, the hesitancy to move on from a player because they were drafted so high. Talk to me about the difficulties that exist there, because with Velus Jones Jr., so many people are quick to say, hey, let's move on from this guy, but it's not as easy as that.
No, I mean, there's investment. There's investment, obviously, monetarily. Third-rounders make a good amount of money, not like second and first, but pretty good. And then there's investment personally. All the scouting that goes into the draft, all the scouting that comes up with the players you pick, the Bears probably build it like we did in Green Bay with their scouts on the road for 4 or 5 months, all coming together and building the board in January, February, March, and drafting off of that. So you have a lot invested in those picks. I don't need to tell you that if he was a seventh-round pick or an undrafted free agent, they might have cut ties. I mean, I think that's just reality, and it's reality in business, too. If you have a CEO that brings in someone they see as a protege, they're not going to get rid of him very quickly, even if he screws up. So I think that's natural. You'll be given more leash the higher pick you are, and it's happened throughout sports. You know, it's just GMs are not going to let go of their prized possessions early on.
It's good to hear that, because I think that, you know, we as Bears fans know the answer, but no one's going to come out and just say it that way. So it's good to hear, you know, that we're not crazy. We do understand that there is a level of investment in a player, which, you know, doesn't allow an executive to move on from them so quickly. Now, executives are moving on from running backs at a higher rate than we've ever seen before. Andrew, what can you say about the running back market? I mean, we just saw Zeke sign with the Patriots, and we saw Dalvin Cook. Just, you know, the dominoes are starting to fall. But It's an unprecedented offseason for running backs. What can you say about that?
Yeah, I've been talking about it a while. It seems like it's just going on a couple months. The point that not a lot of people make is really this starts way before the NFL. As people know, there's a three-year draft eligibility rule in the NFL. It's 1 year in the NBA. In other words, you got to be 3 years removed from high school to enter the NFL draft. That's fine for quarterbacks and for offensive line, defensive line, but that's not good for running backs. Running backs hit their prime at like age 19, and so their prime earning years are being restricted right away. Then they get to the pros. They got to sign four-year mandatory contracts, 5 years if they're first-rounders, then franchise tags for people like Barkley and Josh Jacobs. They don't see free agency until age 26, 27, and then the powers that be, my old job, feel that they're too old to sign to big contracts because the shelf life for prime years of running back is probably like age 19 to 24, whereas other positions, it's more 24 to 29. This is how they're discriminated against. So I say that the system is killing running backs because they can't even get paid until 3 years out of high school. Then they're restricted to these low-wage rookie contracts. And by that time, unlike other positions, they're kind of used up. Mm. It's just, it's almost like gymnasts. You know, their shelf life is much shorter than other positions in football. And it's unfortunate that they're kind of lumped in with everyone else.
Is it? Do you think there will be a shift because of the running back market where players are allowed to come out a bit sooner, or do you think that that'll just be something that is going to have to be navigated in real time in order to come to a solution?
I think it's a problem. And the collective bargaining agreement for, you know, the union, for them to try to negotiate a carve out for running backs, the owners are going to say, okay, you know, what do we get for that?
Right.
And the players are going to say, who aren't running backs, are going to say, no way. So the answer is no. And what I would say to the NFLPA is try to renegotiate that draft eligibility rule. It'll help everyone, not just – I mean, I know players will say, well, we don't care about rookies coming in when they're 19 versus 22. But if the union could negotiate that down like the NBA, 1 year removed from high school, that would really help running backs.
Yeah, and if they can come to some compromise, get to two – and let's be honest, if they're not worried about people leaving because of NIL money, is going to keep a lot of quality running backs in the college collegiate space available, and those that should be in the NFL will get to the NFL. We're talking to Andrew Brandt here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. So I know you are the executive director at the Morehead Center at Villanova. So I do have a question about your students, and it is, you know, I'm curious what space are your students gravitating towards when studying in that sports world? I'm just curious, like what could be at the forefront of something new, or what is it that like mentioned, are they gravitating towards what's capturing people's interests?
Yeah. No, it's interesting, Gabe, because when I left the Packers, I didn't want to stay in the NFL. I wanted another chapter of my career, and I wanted to do two things where I saw opportunity. Was really pull back the curtain on what goes on in sports for two audiences, media, listeners, viewers, readers, and for students. Because I think with a lot of academia, you don't hear from people in the business and practical, especially sports. So I want to give them realistic, practical insights on how to be in sports. I think it's changed. I think in over the years, so many students have come in wanting to be agents. And the agent life is a tough one. I did that 10 years before I was with the Packers. It is a hard, hard life. Mm. So when people say to me all the time, I want to be an agent, I said, all right, let's role play real quick. I'm a player. You're an agent. Why would I sign with you? And that shuts people up pretty good because they don't have much track record. So it's a tough business. I think now you see people, you mentioned NIL, a lot of people want to get into college sports, whether on the player side or the college administration side. Compliance is a growth area. A lot of people wanting to get into sports betting with the growth area there. A lot of people wanting to get into analytics. a lot of people want to work for teams, whether in legal, business, finance, public relations, salary gap management. So I'm seeing a whole host of people, and it's been a nice experience for me sort of developing and mentoring the next wave of people in executive roles in sports.
That is extremely cool to hear, because I think people of my age, it's like, yeah, any of our friends that went to law school and loved sports, the agent's route was the way that they wanted to go. That's all we would hear. But I often tell people in media, Andrew, that, you know, you don't only got to be behind the mic. There's so many jobs in media that can pay the bills. And I think the same thing would hold true, you know, for sports law, that there's so many different things to do. So I'm glad to hear that that is branching out.
I mean, I know you probably got a lot of young people listening or people interested in the business. And first of all, they can always find me. I do these reels like this kind of stuff on Instagram at Andrew Brandt too. And I do a newsletter every Sunday. Go to andrew-brandt.com. Just sign up. You get it free every Sunday. But I would always suggest make yourself different. That's what you got to do. If you want to be an agent, how are you going to be different than all these other kids, all these other young people that want to be agents? If you want to work for a team, why you? Why you over all these people that want to work for a team? So I would say just really find an area you can make yourself different. When I hear from young people, I want to see a writing sample. I want to see what you've spent time on before just sort of reaching out. Hey, can you help me? Mm-hmm. You got to show something.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a life lesson people need to hear.
Amazing stuff, Andrew. Thanks so much for sharing that with the audience. And as always, thanks for giving me a little bit of your time.
You got it, Gabe.
Andrew Brandt, love having him on the show. I feel smarter every time he leaves. I get to ask cool questions like that and get the answers. I feel like he's my mentor without knowing he's my mentor. Speaking of mentors, another one's going to be joining the show. An actual one is going to be joining the show after the break. Lawrence Holmes is going to jump on, chat with me for a little bit. I know there'll be a Heath, though, be falling asleep. He probably had a little cup of coffee. Nah, he's going to get me. He's not going to like that one. But we got Lawrence Holmes talking a little White Sox baseball and just baseball culture as a whole. We will do that after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, it's good that you know the Sox fans go to college, clown.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
I did go to college, and I am a clown. It's Gabe Ramirez, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we do get to bring on the man himself, Lawrence. How does it feel, Lawrence, to be brought onto, like, your station?
It's not my station, man.
Come on, bro.
No, I'm just here.
You work here, though. How about we live there? And so that we won't even give you all that. Just like, how does it feel to be brought onto the show that you station you work on?
I like it. And I mean, I did the nighttime show for almost a decade. So whenever I get a chance to talk with this particular audience, I always look forward to it. And I'm a White Sox fan. They got a master's degree.
Hey, we out here. Oh, well,
you're out here.
You're out here with the master's.
Man, I'm just out here, Gabe, I straight up had a dream last night. Dan and I talk about it all the time because we both have different levels of anxiety about the anxiety dream.
Okay.
And so I had the anxiety dream last night. So the anxiety dream is, for those who don't know what we're talking about, is stuff that you've already gotten through. But, like, for example, it's you flashing back to a high school exam and you're not prepared for it.
Mm.
That sort of thing.
Okay.
And so mine last night, we were joking around. Mine last night was, I was starting my PhD at Harvard, okay? Like, I'm literally, like, moving on campus at Harvard. And I'm like, oh, okay, my first class is at the Barnhart building. And I'm like, does anyone know where the Barnhart building is? And no one could tell me where the Barnhart building was. And so I'm, like, walking campus, like, looking at all these buildings, and none of them say Barn. I'm like, I'm going to miss my class. And so I end up missing the class, and my professor sends me an email saying that I got a zero for the day on my first day working on my PhD. And then, like, to make matters worse, someone then tells me, oh, we'll see the Barnhart building actually morphs into another building.
Of course it does.
So you were looking at the right building, but at the time it was another. And I was just like, man, I woke up laughing. But that's my life in a nutshell, Gabe. that's how I roll.
Those are the things that people with master's dream of or have nightmares about, and that is getting their PhD. That's the space that you find yourself in.
Look, man, I also have the dream of, there was a class that I completely blew off senior year at DePaul.
Hmm.
It was a history of Chicago class. The crazy part was that it was one of my favorite classes, but it was spring quarter of senior year.
Ah.
And what that meant was baseball and hanging out in the quad.
Yeah.
Like, that's all it was for me. And I think I got a B in that class. And I think, and it was a Tuesday, Thursday class too.
It's long.
So,
ones.
Yeah, the 90 minute ones.
Yeah.
I think I maybe went to four classes and I ended up getting a B in the class. But I always, like, before I had this PhD anxiety dream, my dream was always that I didn't pass that class.
Ah.
So everything else is invalid. My diploma from DePaul is invalid. My diploma from Alabama is invalid. Like, my whole resume is a lie. Like, all of that stuff.
That is imposter syndrome on a different level. like a totally different level. Like, I'm out here bad telling people I'm doing something. But the Chicago history class, like, come on. What did you show up to the final and you play the percolator and then you're good?
Yeah,
Is that what's going on there?
You know, it was more intense. You know what? We had this other class that people used to. It's still a class that's taught at DePaul, and I laugh every time that I hear one of my students in my class say that they're in this class. DePaul has a history of wine class.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a 3-hour class. I think they do it Thursday nights.
But, like, are they turning you into a sommelier, or is it just like an actual, like, elective, like, low key? Here you go.
No. See, that's the thing. The students think that they're going to go to class and drink wine, and they do, right?
Right.
They don't realize that it's a science class.
Oh.
And they have to learn about grapes and minerals and fermenting and all this stuff. when I was a student, like, people would schedule that class because it was a Thursday night 3-hour class. That was their pregame, Gabe.
Oh my God.
That was the pregame at DePaul.
Oh my God.
And then they'd hit these streets and they're hitting all the local bars and stuff. And they're like, man, I got a D in that class. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Because you're not supposed to drink the wine, stupid. Yeah, you're supposed to spit it out.
Spit it out. Okay. Oh, man. That's I could see how that one would stand out, though. Like, the history of wine. I mean, you get into those. That's what happens in college, though. It tricks you. You think you're taking an easy class, and then before you know it, you're, like, in the depths of whatever subject you're in. 5 books deep, learning things you had no idea you were going to learn. So
yeah,
that's,
man,
where that's at. But what we will not learn anything new about is the Chicago White Sox. We know exactly, man, everything we need to know. We've passed all tests with flying colors. We know who they are under the mask. And it is a team that I talked to Keith Law a second ago. Keith Law's awesome, man.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. And we both agreed that there is no such thing as a retool in Chicago for the White Sox in order to put them on a different path.
I don't see any flaw in his logic, to tell you the truth. The thing is like, if we were talking about this in a vacuum, if we were just talking about this, like, if they weren't actual people and they were just their
some simulation, right,
and we were running a sim, you go, okay, you're like, if you're starting right now with the White Sox and you're like, they got Dylan Cease, they got Luis Robert, so you got a guy who is a second place for Cy Young, and you got a guy who's going to finish in the top 5 for MVP this year.
Fair.
You have Eloy, a guy that has 40 home run potential. You know what I'm saying? Like you have the former face of baseball, Tim Anderson. He's on your team too. Wow. That's a lot of really, like, that's a good place to start from if you're trying to rebuild. And then you start thinking about, like, the reality of it, of Tim has gone backwards from a developmental standpoint, and there was that spark. And I wonder if that spark that we got from him was, I'm trying to get traded spark, where he hit really well for 3 weeks. And then once the trade deadline hit, it was right back to where he was before. With Eloy, all of us can see the talent, but can he stay on the field? Robert, I think, has turned a corner, and I think Cease is pretty good, even though his season has been bad this year by his standards, by the standards that he was starting to set. I don't know how you fix everything else that the White Sox have issues with. They don't have a catcher going into next year. They are still looking for someone to play second base for them. Technically, they're still looking for someone to play right field, although I was pleasantly surprised with how Eloy has played right field, but you can't count on him to play right
every day.
Field. Over at I think Andrew Vaughn's actually good, but I do think that the White Sox have oversold him. Like, the White Sox were out here acting like he was the next Frank Thomas, and I think he's just a pretty good player, and that's okay. You need good players too. And then on the other side of the diamond, I am a Moncada truther. Like, I am the last of the Moncada truthers. I think that dude has more talent than everyone on the team, including Robert. But the problem is he can't stay healthy. And now when you're talking about a bad back, I can't project him out to ever reaching his potential with a bad back, ever.
And that's unfortunate, because you do see it in spurts, whether it's with his glove at third base making some really crazy plays or his bat and timely hitting. I mean, there are things that exist in Yoan Moncada's game, but you're right. I mean, the back issue is definitely something to be concerned about. But the consistency, and that holds true for every single player that you've mentioned right there. I had a thought last week, and it wasn't one that was where I was anointing someone or saying this needs to happen. It was more so in a parallel universe. If I were to draw what I would love to happen, it would be this. And when I said it, like most things that are said on 670 The Score, the people that are texting in only hear half of what you say. And so they were kind of getting at me, but it was that I would love if Eloy Jimenez would step into that leadership role. And what I mean by that is, I know. But he's 27, or going to be 27. He's on that tail end of your 20s where even if you are a jokester, you know, you kind of tighten things up a little bit. Again, in my parallel universe where I would love things to happen. Because, one, he has the talent to be a leader, right, with his bat. And he wants to be out there every day. So at least the work ethic is there in that sense. And he just, the maturity just needs to be there, right? Where he does have the ability to have the ownership of the team. But when you're thinking about guys, and we talked about this with Ozzy last week, it was guys that are being brought up in the organization that then get to that point, like a Paul Konerko, who wasn't a leader initially, but became that. Like, what do you think about my guy Eloy, you know, becoming a mature individual and still being the face and a likable leader to be a glue guy, right? Because this is where this conversation, you coming on the show, is even all about. It's about someone being able to do that. And Eloy, who wants to speak the English language, who speaks the Spanish, speaks Spanish clearly, and can be that dude, could be that dude, I should say. What are your thoughts on that?
Man, I wish. Shout out to Skilo. I wish that I would love to live in that alternate universe that you're talking about. You know, you get Doctor Strange up in here, he opens up a couple of portals for us, and we could get to that alternate place. It would be dope if Eloy was that dude. And coming into spring training, I kind of felt like, well, he did lose 30 pounds. And when people who were covering the White Sox said that, I was like, man, y'all on some BS. There's no way world. Yeah.
That's a good angle.
Yeah, like that man didn't lose no 30 pounds. And then I saw him and I was like, oh, he totally lost 30 pounds. I think that he was motivated and driven and really, really wanted to show that he could do all of that stuff that we've been dying to see him do. But there's still questions about, as strange as it sounds, like there's still questions about his work ethic after that. I go back to Rick Hahn. Like, I've given Rick a lot of credit. Like, I even said, like, his superpower is getting guys to sign what I think are good deals for both team and player. It's rare that you say that. Usually it's something that's really good for the team or something that's really good for the player. Rick buying out the arbitration eligible years for Moncada and Eloy and Luis Robert, like Tim Anderson, like it all made sense. Like it really truly makes sense. Like, why should we let this guy toil? Like, why we don't need to play these games with them about their service time. Let's sign him and get him to the major leagues. The problem that I keep seeing with the White Sox is that they seem to feel like development ends when people make it to the majors.
Right. That's such a great point.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point.
And it's okay if you do have a, like, if you were to have a player like before he got injured, Chris Bryant, who clearly was about as good as he was going to be once he got to the major league level. Cool. You had these other guys that didn't have a lot of minor league experience. That with Tim, you're talking about a guy who hadn't really played baseball that long, but the athletics are so off the charts. You're like, man, you know, we got to get this guy to the major leagues because look at his hit tool. Look at what he could be from a power standpoint, and look at the way that he can make plays for us. Everything just kind of stopped. Like it didn't seem like there was a, once Ricky Renteria was fired, and to be fair, that was the right move by the White Sox at the time. Once he was fired, it felt like there was no consequence for not reaching your potential. Mm. And Ricky was good at getting these guys from point A to point B. Now, I'm curious on whether or not there was a ceiling to that. And if point B was as far as he was ever going to be able to take players, and he messed up royally in the September of 2020 and in October of 2020, he messed up royally. So I understood the White Sox making that move. But after that, there wasn't an emphasis on trying to get guys to where they were supposed to be. It was just kind of like, well, of course Eloy is going to turn into a guy that can hit 35 home runs a year. Well, how is he going to do that? Well, of course Tim's going to turn into a Gold Glove shortstop and all of this other stuff. And it just felt like it was incomplete, that they couldn't get, whether it was Tony La Russa or the front office of the White Sox, that they couldn't get anyone to kind of step into that void and get the most out of their talent. And it's sad. It's, Gabe, it's so sad because White Sox fans, like I've never seen, and I literally had Rick on the radio show back when we were talking. I had Rick in studio, and we were talking about how the season after they had declared the rebuild, White Sox attendance didn't go down. I think it maybe went down by like 500 a game. And I asked him if he was shocked by that, and he was like, actually, yeah. And he was proud that White Sox fans had bought into the rebuild. We saw it work in Boston. We saw it work with the Cubs. You were seeing other teams kind of – we saw the Astros do some of that stuff. And White Sox fans were like, okay, cool. We are willing to suffer, and we're going to enjoy. Like NBC Sports Chicago did all these great features when they were in Birmingham and in Charlotte. They were showing Charlotte games on NBC Sports Chicago on nights that the White Sox were off. Stuff like that. Like, there was a real buy-in, and that's why, to me, and I mean, the texters can tell me I'm wrong. That's why, to me, White Sox fans are so angry, because for the first time ever, they were like, okay, let's try things in a different way. We're going to support you on this because we've seen it work in other places and we want it to work for us. And then, you know, they made some horrible decisions and it seemed like the owner wanted to jump what the senior vice president and the GM were doing to try and make it work. And then disaster struck. And one of my biggest problems with the way the White Sox have run 2023 is that they walked in acting like nothing else bad could happen to them, because so many things bad had happened to them in 2022. So they were like, oh, well, the scales have got to balance. And that's not really how it works. Mm-mm. Like it doesn't necessarily turn into the scales balancing up. And that's how you end up with a season where you may lose 100 games.
And it goes back to what you were saying, even this year, is that the expectation is that, oh, okay, well, guys, you know what? My bad, it didn't happen last year, but Eloy's going to do 40 this year because he didn't do it the last two. This is the one. And Yamakata, guys, I know everybody's been talking about him, but this is the year. He's going to play, you know, 140 games, and he's going to – like, the assumption was still there in 2023 as it was in these other years.
So some of the stuff was crazy. Like, when me and Dan were talking about it, Michael Kopech talking about he was going to throw 200 innings. Come on, fam.
right.
Like, I get it. You're trying to think big. The goal should have been 150. And it looks like he might even get to 150 this season. And that's a good thing. Like, that's a step up from the 119 and a third that he had last season. Like, that's a really good thing. But it's these outsized projections that have really, I think, made the White Sox kind of look bad in the way that they've gone about the season. And then there was other stuff, too. Like, they bet on some people that really weren't bought in. They signed Joe Kelly when clearly he was using that first year as a rehab on the White Sox dime when the White Sox were out here trying to win. I mean, it's stuff like that that it has consequences, at least with the fan base. I don't know if it has the same consequences with the owner, but we'll see. But here's the thing. One of the things I want to talk to you said something so interesting to me when we were doing transition together last week that I hope that we have enough time to talk about it and dissect it a little bit. And it was you talking about how even as a Spanish speaker, that when you are around native Spanish speakers, you're quiet and you don't speak. And I want to talk about, like, I think that psychology is really interesting, because you do have guys like, look, let's keep it a buck. We know that Eloy speaks English.
Right.
I've heard enough in the clubhouse to tell you that Jose Abreu knew exactly what you were talking about. Yoan Moncada speaks enough English. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I see Luis, like, listening as people are saying stuff. And
right.
There's a bunch of those guys that probably speak enough English to get by. But getting by doesn't necessarily help you build relationships. So I think that your point of view, like, as a Sox fan and as a Spanish speaker, like, I honestly think that we need more representation in clubhouses with people who actually speak Spanish.
Yeah. And it goes to, like, in so many areas, right? I remember one time you and I, this had to have been, man, maybe like 6-7 years ago, that I was, you know, at the other station down the hall, but I showed up to White Sox press day, and you were there and I was there, and it was like Gordon Beckham was still playing. And I remember going up to some of the guys that only spoke Spanish and being like, this is going to be cool. Like, I'm going to speak Spanish to these guys. I'm going to try to get something from them. And, you know, Spanish speakers, that when that's their first language, like, they know immediately, right? Just by, like, the tone,
the way you say words,
like, this rate of speech, it's just different, right? Like, it's, you can tell immediately, like, even how you pronounce certain words. And so, like, when I was having these conversations with those guys and in a media setting, even though I was speaking Spanish, like, you could even tell that they were feeling a certain type of way about it. Like, and almost like, okay, here's a perfect example. This is outside of the sports world. If I go into a Spanish grocery store and I'm looking for something, me, the way that I look, and I go and I ask for it in Spanish, that native Spanish speaker will respond to me in English.
Whoa.
Okay, pay attention to that, right? And that's just at a grocery store. Like, let alone anywhere in life, because of, they feel that, hey, bro, you don't have to talk Spanish to me. I know English. Like, we're good. And I'm like, I'd rather talk to you in Spanish because I feel more comfortable having this conversation with you in Spanish, right? And so, like, I deal with that a lot. And I think in the sports space, it's no different, because I think ultimately what we're talking about, Lawrence, is compatibility, right? Like, being able to be comfortable in a space together, whether it is speaking your native tongue or the one that you kind of know. And I think that, you know, that's something that's plagued the White Sox is just that, you know. And if you are a Tim Anderson, or you are a Joe Kelly, or a Dylan Cease, or
Not Joe Kelly. Not Mariachi Joe.
Yeah, you're right. That was pretty dope when he grabbed that one. All right, look, we got to go to break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back and continue this conversation. Gabe Ramirez, we got Lawrence Holmes hanging out to the end of the hour right here on 670 The Score.
Hi, Mom!
So White Sox.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Joined by Lawrence Holmes for the next couple of minutes. We've been talking about biculturalness within a culture. And I think the most difficult thing... And it sucks, you know, because, like, and obviously there's so many people that deal with this when they're biracial or whatever it is. But, like, it can be within your own race where, you know, you're Puerto Rican. But, you know, even in Puerto Rico, Lawrence, they call people that are not from the actual island gente de afuera. Afuera means outside, right? So, like, when they talk about anything in life that is not on the island, you, your family, your bills, your everything, Esa pasa afuera. Like, that's happening out there. And, like, it's like just the culture as a whole. You know what I'm saying? And the same thing holds true for, you know, those that speak it, those that don't speak it, those that were born here, those that, you know, whatever. And so baseball is such an interesting sport and played so differently, you know, based on a region, that I can see how difficult it could be to try to place people together. And let's be very clear. Majority of teams in Major League Baseball, though, Like, the Latino is the addition, right? Like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, there are teams that have the Latino as, like, the basher, right? Like a J-Rod or something like that. But for the last 10, 15 years, 20 years, the Latino has been the addition to a ball club. And the White Sox are that team where the Latinos are the actual core.
Right.
And so we're seeing this play out differently now with that.
We are, man. We could do like 4 hours on this.
Get Russ Dorsey out here. This could be like a real long show. Yeah.
Because I mean, we could then really start to talk about some of the underlying issues where, like, for example, with Tim Anderson, it seems pretty clear that he doesn't feel like he can really connect. And I can understand that.
Yeah.
Like, for a Black American, it might be difficult for him to connect. But then it's like, well, wait a minute. If we start talking about the Black diaspora,
mm-hmm.
there's plenty of Black dudes on the White Sox.
Plenty.
Plenty of them.
But get try to get one of them to be like, yeah, I'm a Black dude.
Exactly.
You know,
like,
what I'm saying?
And that's part of the issue. And I even think, like, where you're talking about intracultural stuff.
Yes.
With Tim, one of my frustrations is that, at least from just, I'm just judging from the little that I know about Tim and what he said on the Pivot podcast, it felt like he needs everything to be apples to apples. So, like, you can't understand him unless you're a Black guy from the South.
Yeah.
And you're young and you listen to a certain music. And one of my complaints about that was, I wonder if Tim has had some real conversations with two guys that, because I actually think that the White Sox, more than any other franchise, are better equipped to handle this. There are two guys that, if I were Tim, and I'm saying this looking back as someone who's 48 years old,
right,
and not 30, okay? But if I were Tim, I would reach out to Darren Jackson and talk to him about what it's like to be one of the only Black players in a clubhouse. Although a lot of the clubhouses that Darren was in, he did have, you know, Frank, he had One Dog, yeah, stuff like that. I would reach out to Kenny Williams. Like, Kenny Williams is one of the most, because Kenny doesn't do a lot of media, it sucks because we can't really get into his story. Like, his story of being raised by Black Panthers. Like, there's a lot there. And I think because Kenny is, you know, this ex-player, what is Kenny, like 60 now?
Yeah, you got to be up there.
Like, ex-player, Stanford educated, maybe he thinks that they can't see eye to eye on stuff, and it's not apples to apples to him. So he doesn't see it as someone who I can connect with. And I wish that he would. I really wish that the White Sox and him would have found a way to make some of those connections. But like I was saying, man, we could talk about this for forever.
I mean, literally. And you know, there's other players that we even think about that have passed through the White Sox organization, like a Jermaine Dye, who's been on multiple teams. Like, reaching out and seeing what that is. But you're right, like, T.A., you know, when you look at his Twitter account, he got, you know, King Von as his profile picture.
Yeah.
And you're but I don't think Yoan Moncada, who's doing bachata songs, is kind of trying to line up with King Von and what's going, you know what I'm saying?
Well, like, I mean, look, I get what Tim's doing. Like, that's a way for him to connect with Chicago. Like,
right,
that's Tim being as real as possible, connecting with the folks on O Block. But that's what I mean. Like, I'm a person in the media, right? And I'm a dude with a master's degree, and I'm older than Tim. I live a few seconds away from O Block.
Yep.
And I could talk to Tim about that if he wanted to, but it's not apples to apples to him.
Right.
So he doesn't see it as an opportunity to, I don't know, like, maybe feel more comfortable. And I'll just leave you with this. Jason Hayward said something to me that stuck with me. And he was saying how, like, I hadn't come to the clubhouse in a while. And he was like, look, man, you need to show up more. And I was like, why? And he said, well, it makes me more comfortable when you're in the clubhouse. And so, you know, I've been trying to do that a little bit more. And I don't even know if it matters to anyone. Because Hayward's a really deep-thinking dude. And he clearly loves Chicago, too. But I said to Tim the last – because he said to me, Tim was like, hey, you better show up. You know, like, you go if you're going to talk, yo, you better show up. And I laughed, and I was like, hey, T.A., last time I was in the club, I was like, look at this. I was like, my face, I'm right here.
Here I am.
And he was like, that's what's up. He's like, that's cool. But like I said, like the all of the different things that we could – the different directions that we could go inside this conversation, man, like we should do this again. We should do this again when we each have like more time and we could really like do it big.
I love it. I always enjoy talking to you and having this space. So you're always welcome, and I'll be sure to text you in the middle of the night like I did this time to get you on again. All right, Lo.
Whatever it takes, brother. Whatever it takes.
Have a good evening, Lo. I will see you soon. All right, brother. Thanks for jumping on.
All right, you got it, man.
Big thank you to all my guests, including Lawrence Holmes, Andrew Brandt, Keith Law. Am I missing anybody else? Mark Grody, first hour. And, of course, Tyler Farengall for handling production duties today. Fantastic job getting the guests today, man. Thank you so much. All right, mi gente, BetMGM Tonight is up next. Hasta la próxima, which will be Wednesday. Have a great night. 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So White Sox.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Joined by Lawrence Holmes for the next couple of minutes. We've been talking about biculturalness within a culture. And I think the most difficult thing, and it sucks, you know, because like you're, and obviously there's so many people that deal with this when they're biracial or whatever it is, but like it can be within your own race where, you know, you're Puerto Rican, but, you know, even in Puerto Rico, Lawrence, they call people that are not from the actual island, gente de afuera. Afuera means outside, right? So like when they talk about anything in life that is not on the island, you, your family, your bills, your everything, esa pasa afuera. Like that's happening out there. And like, that's, it's like just the culture as a whole, you know what I'm saying? And the same thing holds true for, you know, those that speak it, those that don't speak it, those that were born here, those that, you know, whatever. And so baseball is such an interesting sport and played so differently, you know, based on a region, that I can see how difficult it could be to try to place people together. And let's be very clear. Majority of teams in Major League Baseball, though, like, the Latino is the addition, right? Like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, there are teams that have the Latino as, like, the basher, right? Like a J-Rod or something like that. But for the last 10, 15 years, 20 years, the Latino has been the addition to a ball club. And the White Sox are that team where the Latinos are the actual core.
Right.
And so we're seeing this play out differently now with that.
We are, man. We could do, like, 4 hours on this.
Get Russ Dorsey out here. It's going to be like a real long show. Yeah.
Because we could then really start to talk about some of the underlying issues where, like, for example, with Tim Anderson, it seems pretty clear that he doesn't feel like he can really connect. And I can understand that.
Yeah.
Like, for a Black American, it might be difficult for him to connect. But then it's like, well, wait a minute. If we start talking about the Black diaspora,
mm-hmm.
there's plenty of Black dudes on the White Sox.
Plenty.
Plenty of them.
But get try to get one of them to be like, yeah, I'm a Black dude.
Exactly.
You know,
like,
what I'm saying?
And that's part of the issue. And I even think, like, where you're talking about intracultural stuff.
Yes.
With Tim, one of my frustrations is that, at least from just, I'm just judging from the little that I know about Tim and what he said on the Pivot podcast, it felt like he needs everything to be apples to apples. So, like, you can't understand him unless you're a Black guy from the South.
Yeah.
And you're young and you listen to a certain music. And one of my complaints about that was, I wonder if Tim has had some real conversations with two guys that, because I actually think that the White Sox, more than any other franchise, are better equipped to handle this. There are two guys that, if I were Tim, and I'm saying this looking back as someone who's 48 years old,
right,
and not 30, okay? But if I were Tim, I would reach out to Darren Jackson and talk to him about what it's like to be one of the only Black players in a clubhouse. Although a lot of the clubhouses that Darren was in, he did have, you know, Frank, he had One Dog, yeah, stuff like that. I would reach out to Kenny Williams. Like, Kenny Williams is one of the most, because Kenny doesn't do a lot of media, it sucks because we can't really get into his story. Like, his story of being raised by Black Panthers.
Mm.
Like, there's a lot there. And I think because Kenny is, you know, this ex-player, what is Kenny, like 60 now?
You got to be up there.
Like, ex-player, Stanford educated. Maybe he thinks that they can't see eye to eye on stuff. And it's not apples to apples to him. So he doesn't see it as someone who I can connect with. And I wish that he would. I really wish that the White Sox and him would have found a way to make some of those connections. But like I was saying, man, we could talk about this for forever.
I mean, literally. And you know, there's other players that we even think about that have passed through the White Sox organization, like a Jermaine Dye, who's been on multiple teams. Like, reaching out and seeing what that is. But you're right, like, T.A., you know, when you look at his Twitter account, he got, you know, King Von as his profile picture.
Yeah.
And you're, I mean, like, but like I don't think Yoan Moncada, who's doing bachata songs, is kind of trying to line up with King Von and what's going, you know what I'm saying?
Well, like, I mean, look, I get what Tim's doing. Like, that's a way for him to connect with Chicago. Like,
right,
that's Tim being as real as possible, connecting with the folks on O Block. But that's what I mean. Like, I'm a person in the media, right? And I'm a dude with a master's degree. And I'm older than Tim. I live a few seconds away from O Block.
Yep.
And I could talk to Tim about that if he wanted to. But it's not apples to apples to him.
Right.
So he doesn't see it as an opportunity to, I don't know, like, maybe feel more comfortable. And I'll just leave you with this. Jason Hayward said something to me that stuck with me. And he was saying how, like, I hadn't come to the clubhouse in a while. And he was like, look, man, you need to show up more. And I was like, why? And he said, well, it makes me more comfortable when you're in the clubhouse. And so, you know, I've been trying to do that a little bit more. And I don't even know if it matters to anyone. Because Hayward's a really deep-thinking dude. And he clearly loves Chicago, too. But I said to Tim the last, because he said to me, Tim was like, hey, you better show up. You know, like, you go if you're going to talk, yo,
right,
you better show up. And I laughed, and I was like, ATA, last time I was in the club, I was like, look at this. I was like, my face, I'm right here.
Here I am.
And he was like, that's what's up. He's like, that's cool. But like I said, like the all of the different things that we could, the different directions that we could go inside this conversation, man, like, we should do this again. We should do this again when we each have, like, more time and we could really, like, do it big.
I love it. I always enjoy talking to you and having this space, so you're always welcome. And I'll be sure to text you in the middle of the night like I did this time to get you on again. All right, Lo?
Whatever it takes, brother. Whatever it takes.
Have a good evening, Lo. I will see you soon. All right, brother? Thanks for jumping on.
All right, you got it, man.
Big thank you to all my guests, including Lawrence Holmes, Andrew Brandt, Keith Law. Am I missing anybody else? Mark Grody, first hour. And, of course, Tyler Ferengall for handling production duties today. Fantastic job getting the guests today, man. Thank you so much. All right, mi gente, BetMGM Tonight is up next. Hasta la próxima, which will be Wednesday. Have a great night. 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.